Audacity. After much talk on the streets of Barbados, the central bank's second-in-command is now the acting governor. This is Friday's Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards. The Central Bank of Barbados has announced that its second-in-command will take over as acting governor for the time being. What ignited the change? Here's one of Bridgetown's best, Julius Gittens.
A 42-year veteran of the Central Bank and its deputy governor, Alwyn Jordan, was responsible for the bank's economic analysis, supervising the nation's banks, IT, and operations. In a statement, Jordan says his immediate focus during his tenure will be on continuing the work of restoring Barbados' economy and ensuring that the bank remains a strong, resilient institution that is able to fulfill its mandate and serve the Barbadian public. But questions remain over just why Jordan takes over from Governor Cleaveston Haynes after 3 years in a key position overseeing a struggling Barbadian economy, now just showing signs of sustained growth after a decade of stagnation. And it is still not clear whether the Motley administration declined to renew Haynes' contract or if Haynes decided not to renew. But insiders say Jordan is highly regarded bank staffers generally. The appointment begins to seal a vacuum of information ever since Haynes indicated he was demitting office, leading to intense speculation that sparked a raft of social media videos, now since debunked by this announcement. Julius Gittens, Bridgetown.
In St. Lucia, the Speaker of the House, Claudius Francis, has scheduled a press conference following calls for his resignation. As the political battle continues, here's NBC Prime News.
This follows a press conference held earlier Wednesday, February 1st. Leader of the opposition, Alan Chasney, told reporters that the Speaker of the House had no authority to bring him before the Privileges Committee. John Tench has more in this report.
Speaker of the House of Assembly, Claudius J. Francis, in order to maintain the transparency and accountability of the words uttered in Parliament, scheduled Privileges Committee hearings for Alan Chasney in October of 2022. However, the opposition leader took issue with the procedure used by the House Speaker in order to schedule such hearings. After heated exchanges between their attorneys, the matter was finally handled in the High Court of St. Lucia. The case involved interpretations of the St. Lucia Constitution and the referral of complaints to the Privileges Committee. Claimant of the suit, Alan Chasney, confirmed the conclusion of the matter this week. He also disclosed that the attorneys for both parties agreed and consented to the order of the court.
It's important to appreciate that the conclusion was one of consent, meaning that both parties agreed to the order.
Despite this, however, Chasney is calling for the resignation of the Speaker of the House.
He should resign. And if in fact he does not resign, and you have a prime minister who continuously says that the country is going to be transparent and that he's going to hold people accountable.
Speaker of the House, Claudius Francis, has remained silent.
The Antiguan government says it is willing to allow West African visitors to remain in the country legally. Observer Radio reports that regularity adjustments are likely to be made to facilitate this.
Or implement brand new regulations to allow the hundreds of African nationals who traveled into Antigua on charter flights over the past weeks to remain in the country legally. According to this week's post-cabinet report, the visitors, the majority of whom flocked to Antigua at the start of the year, were anticipated to be well-off citizens of Nigeria and neighboring countries who wished to travel to the Caribbean as tourists. However, based on multiple reports, many of the visiting Africans, including a large number of Cameroonians, are actually fleeing persecution in their homeland and have left the motherland in search of a safe haven. The government said last week that an offer to repatriate them is to be made, but reaffirmed this week that with reports that many are likely to choose to stay, some arrangement may likely be made to ensure that their status is legal. Cabinet spokesperson Information Minister Melford Nicholas addressed the issued post-cabinet media briefing, acknowledging that Antigua and Barbuda is bound to certain international agreements that dictate the treatment of persons considered to be refugees.
Yes, we are, but I do not know that the case for asylum has been made. But notwithstanding, they are, in fact, if you understand the history of our country, kit and kin, as far as we're concerned. I know in my own constituency, I can count more than half a dozen families who are either from Ghana, Nigeria, or other parts of West Africa, and have been living peaceably here amongst us and making contributions. So there's no harm done in receiving and accepting them as part of our own. The question is the legal status.
Guyana's corruption fight is at a standstill, reports Guyana News Source.
The Transparency International Group believes there is need for a greater level of transparency in Guyana's extractive sector. In its latest corruption index report, the Transparency International Group gave Guyana a score of 40 when it comes to issues of corruption and transparency. The corruption index by the Global Anti-Corruption Watchdog is based on a combination of at least three data sources drawn from 13 different corruption surveys and assessments, with 0 signifying highly corrupt and 100 meaning very clean. According to the just-released 2022 report for the Americas, while Guyana has made some improvements over the past 12 years in fighting corruption, that fight appears to have come to a standstill in recent times. The report said the oil-rich nation must still place stronger emphasis on building a well-functioning democratic system and implement greater levels of transparency and oversight, especially in the extractive industry. The report noted that corruption in this sector implies the loss of billions of dollars, which could be used to improve public services and development in one of the poorest countries in the hemisphere.
St. Vincent and the Grenadines is involved in participatory planning, including a workshop on the ecosystem. Here's more on this from SVG TV.
You need to remember that St. Vincent and the Grenadines, the Caribbean, and indeed the whole world, is still in a period of great upheaval and uncertainty. We are facing multiple intertwined crises, from the impacts of COVID-19 pandemic, but that is on top of rising inequalities, social crisis, ongoing biodiversity loss, ecosystem degradation and collapse, and the very serious impacts of climate change facing us small islands. St. Vincent and the Grenadines and other Caribbean countries, unfortunately, have limited resources and are constrained in our ability to respond to these threats, which fundamentally change our ability to deliver socioeconomic development and ensure quality of life for our Caribbean citizens. But I would argue we are facing an unprecedented opportunity now. We need to radically change the way we manage the environment, pursue economic development, and seek a more just and equitable society. This need is more urgent and critical than ever before.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards.